जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा पनचारी जमुना थीरा पनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरापनचारी यमुना थीरापनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
ज्ञानतिमिदण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाचलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
I wish to offer my sincere gratitude to all of you for being here this evening. And I welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Of course, our special guest speaker, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, one of Srila Prabhupada's most confidential and trusted associates, who dedicated so much in a spirit of compassion to helping the people of Bombay to come to Krishna consciousness. He will be the key speaker of the evening. However, he ordered me to speak first. So as your obedient servant, I will speak something, hopefully to prepare everyone, to prepare the pathway for all of us to enter into your treasured, compassionate heart. Hare Krishna. Tonight's subject, from passion to compassion. So perhaps I should speak about passion and Giriraj Maharaj should speak about compassion, because Prabhupada said we should speak according to our realizations. The word passion is derived from the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. This specifically is referring to the passion of Lord Jesus Christ, which is described in the Holy Bible. that incidence of the passion of Christ is when he suffered in his crucifixion intensely for the welfare of others. Over time, that spirit of the intensity of his feelings, of his emotions while suffering, brought upon other meanings to the word. And today we find that compassion could mean a very, very intense, uncontrollable feeling or emotion towards something. Like a passion for art, or a passion for money. It could also mean a very intense desire and enthusiasm to get something. Or oftentimes, the intense desire for sexual love. Now, in the Vedic context, which we'll speak of for a few moments, there is the mode of passion. In Sanskrit, it's rajaguna, but it's translated by taking that word passion because it fits so well. And Krishna describes the qualities of one who is in rajaguna, or the mode of passion. He or she is very much attached to the fruits of one's work. A person who has very strong desire to achieve for the purpose, generally, of sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada expands in this regard how a person who has intense desire for money, for sex, for prestige, a person who wants to enjoy the fruits of his or her labor, this is the mode of passion. And of course, the attraction of sex is very much basis of that passion. And this mode of passion is so much ruling over human civilization in the world today. How people are endeavoring for money. How people are endeavoring due to greed, just to maintain family, so much passion is required. How people are endeavoring so much for honor, prestige, that is motive passion. How much people are infatuated by lust, sexual propensities, motive passion. And knowing that people are so much influenced and impelled by that mode, modern civilization, human beings are trying to exploit one another. Instead of trying to bring people to a higher consciousness, which is the purpose of real culture, people are trying to inflame and aggravate their lower qualities of passion to exploit them. Advertisements, especially here in Bombay, the billboards or the hoardings. Very passionate. Yes? I'm sure some of you have seen them on the roadsides. Trying to influence you somehow or other to buy this, to watch this, to hear this, to get your money. By appealing to and kindling and flaming that passion within you. And the cinemas, their only purpose is to get your money. And they'll do whatever it takes to get your money. So therefore, so many beautiful people dancing and making love and all of that other stuff. And violence. Violence is the mode of ignorance. People are so much inclined to the mode of ignorance, which is symptomized by sleep, laziness, intoxication, violence. Krishna tells in Gita, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava. He says it is lust only that is the all-devouring enemy of this world. What is that lust? Uncontrolled passion. And when it is unfulfilled, it is transformed into anger, wrath. Jayato vishayan pungsang sangasteshu bhajayate. When we contemplate the objects of the senses, that passion, that attachment awakens. From attachment, if we continue that contemplation, lust, passion. And when it's unfulfilled, another form of passion, which is like a bridge to the mode of ignorance, is anger. So much anger. Now, tonight's lecture, how to transform passion into compassion. Because the path of bhakti is about transformation. Not about killing or destroying, but about transforming. Bringing something from its perverted state to its pure state. The word come comes from the Latin word together with, like companion. Panin means bread. Companion really means to break bread with someone else or to have a very, very nice relationship as friends, comrade, companion. Company. Come means together with. I like your company. That means I like to be with you. And when you bring that word to the business world, you start a company. Company means you're working with other people for business purposes. Now we come to the word compassion. Compassion means to have an intense emotion and feeling within your heart for the suffering of others. And to be willing to make sacrifices, even experience inconveniences for the welfare of others. Now, one may argue, someone in the mode of passion or ignorance, that what kind of happiness is there in suffering for the benefit of someone else? Forget it. It's about me. Philosophically, compassion brings real happiness. Why? Because it's our original nature. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part and parcel of God or Krishna. Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, he's eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Krishna's nature is he is supremely compassionate. That's his only mission when he descends into this material world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. The Lord descends into this world again and again and again only to show compassion to those who are suffering in forgetfulness of him. So as the soul or as the consciousness becomes purified of ignorance, of passion, then the true qualities of the eternal blissful soul begin to manifest. And prominent quality of the soul is part and parcel of God's compassion. To be an instrument of God's compassion. And because the expression of compassion is so pleasing to the Lord, when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. It is the greatest happiness to the heart. Now, to transform our longings, our greeds, our lusts, our passions into compassion is the most important question in life. There's really only one way, through company, through association. We become what we associate with. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, if you put iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. And you may say, it's still an iron rod. Prabhupada says, I challenge you, touch it. And you'll get the same experience as if you've touched fire directly. Put that same iron rod in ice, and it becomes cold as ice. It is a law of nature. What we associate with, we become like that. When we associate with God, our godly qualities, prominently compassion, awaken within our heart. And what is the best way to associate with God? By associating with those who love God. When we associate with compassionate persons and follow the path of the compassionate persons, mahajano yena gata sapanta, then that quality awakens within us. Our passions are transformed in that association to compassion. And there are many prominent stories in the scriptures that are told again and again and again to prove this point to us so that we can have faith in it. Narada Muni, his only business is to be compassionate. Narada Muni Vajayivi Naradhika Ramana Name. He's traveling everywhere, just chanting the holy names of the Lord. To teach people the glories of the holy name of the Lord. To give people faith in the holy name of the Lord. Valmiki Muni, before he was a Muni, he was a highway robber. He was a dacoit. He was a killer.
he would be the front page of every newspaper in the world. That's the kind of person he was. There would be documentaries about him. He was a mean man. He was passionate. And he came across, and Narada Muni came specifically to deliver him. And somehow or other, in the association of Narada Muni, his heart began to change. He realized his own foolishness, that his life was going nowhere. And we know the story. He tried to teach him how to chant the name of Ram, but he was so sinful he could not say Rama. Now, how many of you can say Rama? Even I can say it. And we're pretty sinful. So can you imagine how sinful he was? He could not say the name Rama. It was beyond his power to speak that one syllable, those two syllables. So Narada Muni had to use his creative compassion. Now, a preacher has to do what's necessary to transform a person's heart. It's not just about stereotyped verses. It's about doing the needful. Yes? If you're on a battlefield and you're a medic, doctor, and a person's laying there in the middle of the ditches, you may not have the proper surgical instruments. So you just, you know, pick up some thorns and do the surgery. Yes? You do whatever you have to do. If you did that in a hospital, you'd be fired. You'd be sued for malpractice. But on the battlefield, you do the necessary to save a man. Now, let me ask you this question, especially to the brahmacharis who may be present. What would people say about you if you were out telling people, chant the name of the god of death, Mara? Huh? I'd say, bogus. Concoction. Chant Mara, 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 Mara. But Narada Muni understood this is the only way. Chant the name of the god of death, Mara. And he did it. Mara, 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 Rama, Rama, Rama. Somehow or other, he was chanting Rama without not even knowing it. And he became Valmiki Muni, one of the greatest sages. Who gave us the Ramayana millions of years ago. And even today, there are hundreds of millions of people reading it and developing love of God and so much spiritual inspiration from it. Passion transformed into compassion by association with a compassionate soul. And then there's the story of Magrari the hunter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told the story to Sanatana Goswami. Magrari was so evil, so cruel. He was a hunter. Now, most hunters, they kill for a living. Yes? Of course, today, they kill for sport. They don't even eat it. They don't even sell it. It's just some kind of, you know, passionate ego that I, like God, have the power of life or death over another living being. Or whatever they do. But Magrari, he would half kill animals because he loved to watch them suffer. He didn't want to kill them. It's too easy. Not enough enjoyment for him. So Narada Muni's seeing these rabbits and these deers and these other animals just flapping and screaming in agony.
And there was Magrari.
Why are you doing this?
He said, it is my greatest pleasure to see that in my hands other living beings suffer. That was his passion and ignorance. His passion was to make others suffer. Narada Muni revealed to him karma. That every single feeling that you impose upon another is going to come back to you. And he showed him his future, where all these animals were coming back and making him suffer. Association of Narada Muni. He convinced him. Break your bow. Don't do this to them again. Chant the holy names of the Lord. And the next time Narada Muni came by, along with Parvat Muni, Magrari came to greet them, and he stopped. He came, and he was running to greet his Gurudev, and he stopped. Parvat Muni, why is he stopped? And he saw him, there was a row of ants on the path, and he was waiting for the ants to cross the path. In fact, he was very gently trying to just serve them by moving them across aside. Parvat Muni was struck with wonder. Just see the power of associating with a devotee. A cruel murderer, so passionate, is now so compassionate that he will not even cause harm to an insignificant insect. Passion to compassion. Association is the most powerful thing there is. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about Lord Shiva. During the churning of the ocean of milk, vast quantities of deadly poison spread throughout the worlds. It was threatening the survival of all living beings. They approached Vishnu. But Vishnu wanted to teach that my compassion is most powerfully accessible through my devotees. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Approach Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, after hearing the prayers of the devas and the rishis, he said to his consort Bhavani, that just see, in general, people in this world are so antagonistic to one another. They're always fighting. Why? Because they're so passionate. They're so greedy. They're so selfish. There's so much an ignorance of the nature of the soul and the nature of real happiness. But it is the first and foremost duty of a devotee to rescue them from their condition. And Srila Prabhupada explains, a devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. That means he or she sees the sufferings of others to be one's own suffering, and the happiness of others to be one's own happiness. Materially, people who are suffering want other people to suffer with them. In fact, if you're suffering and you see somebody not suffering, you become envious of them. And you want them to suffer. Yes? If you fail, you don't like to see other people succeed. It gives you pleasure to see other people fail, especially if it's worse than you. That's the mode of passion and ignorance. But we find that example of Srimad Bhagavatam of Draupadi.
after the battle of Kurukshetra,
all her sons, she had five sons,
they were all slaughtered in their sleep by Ashwatthama. She was motherless. Can you imagine the pain of a mother losing all her children in a ghastly death? It was a terrorist act. She was so aggrieved.
Arjuna, father of one of the child and the uncle of the others, he attacked Ashwatthama and caught him. It's a good fight, too. And he just dragged that rascal demon Ashwatthama and threw him at the feet of Draupadi. He was ready to kill him. Bhima said, "Kill that rascal."
Draupadi said, "Do not kill him. Let him go."
Huh? No, Arjuna is a Kshatriya.
What is this, "let him go"? She said that his mother, Kripi, the wife of Dronacharya, only has one son. And that's him. I know the experience of a mother losing her children. She's an honorable lady. She should never have to suffer like me. Let him go. Let him live.
Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that is compassion.
When you suffer, you don't want other people to suffer like that. You have experience of it. You want others to be happy. That is a Vaishnav.
Srila Prabhupada gives example of Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. They were willing to endure suffering for the welfare of others. Jesus' crucifixion, he chose, accepted. He could have gotten away from that. He could have just done his bhajan in a quiet place and no one would have bothered him. Haridas Thakur, he was warned. Even at the time of his sentence, either you get the death sentence or you just chant privately somewhere else, but stop all this preaching. Haridas Thakur said, "Cut my body in 1,000 pieces. It doesn't matter. Every piece is going to be preaching the glories of the holy name. Do what you want with me. I cannot live without showing compassion to others." He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. But the Lord protected him. And ultimately, he was in ecstasy of love of God. That is compassion. So Lord Shiva, all those crazy, passionate people who were fighting amongst themselves, their lives were in danger. He was willing to drink all the poison to save them. And he did. And in the Bhagavatam, it describes that showing compassion to suffering souls, fallen souls, is the supreme way to please the Supreme Lord. There is no service that will please the Lord greater than being instrument of His compassion to others. Now, what is real compassion? This is very important to understand. Arjuna, on the battle of field of Kurukshetra, he saw the two armies.
And he felt compassion for everyone. He told Krishna,
I will not fight.
Put down his bow. Couldn't even hold it. How can I fight? I'll cause suffering to others. People I love. On both sides. I will not fight. Krishna called him a fool. Because it was misplaced compassion. It was compassion in the mode of passion. Or compassion in the mode of ignorance. Or even compassion in the mode of goodness is not good enough. Because he wasn't considering what is actually beneficial for their souls. So actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna to elevate his consciousness from material compassion to spiritual compassion, para upakar, real welfare. There's another example in Srimad Bhagavatam of Bharat Maharaj, who is a very, very great devotee, very elevated soul. He was on the platform of bhava. Like Arjuna, he was great. He was doing his tapasya, the banks of the Gandaki River, the Himalayas. And he saw that little deer who was drowning. The mother had a miscarriage and she fell in the little baby, just newborn, fell in the river. And you know how sweet looking a little baby deer is. They're so dear. And what could Bharat Maharaj do? He just got out of his meditation, went and took that water, that little deer out of the water. It's compassion. And that's what he should have done. But then he began to nurse the deer, and he became so friendly and kind to the deer and so concerned with the welfare of the deer that his compassion degenerated to the bodily concept, where he became totally attached to the physical association of the deer. And that misplaced compassion caused him to take his next birth as a deer. And he learned a good lesson. In his next life, he remembered this, and he became Jad Bharat Harivo. And he showed highest compassion to everyone. Yes, he was walking with the palanquin of King Rahugana. They found him in the forest and said, you carry this palanquin. So he was walking, and every time some ants came, he stopped. And the other three persons were moving. Now what happens when three people are walking and one person stops? It's kind of like driving in Bombay. But, you know, King Rahugana was not accustomed to this Bombay driving. He was very angry. What's wrong with you? Jad Bharat wouldn't step on an ant. Ants were crossing, so he stopped. Little insects, stop. The king, he may be uncomfortable, but that's all right. The ant should not die. Little uncomfort to a king is a small price for massive suffering to an insect. He was a very brave person. His compassion for the body. But his compassion for the king was great. When the king chastised him, he preached to him and transformed the king's passion into compassion. The king became a pure Paramahamsa Vaishnav by the association of Jad Bharat. How to transform that passion into compassion? Yes, Lord Shiva, he drank the whole ocean of poison, and that blue line that's on his neck is his greatest ornamentation. Because para upakar, real compassion, is for the body, the mind,
and especially the soul.
Srila Prabhupada explains, philanthropy in and of itself is the mode of goodness. However, a person has his or her karma. And whatever you do for that person, one way or another, they're going to get their karma. You may change the form it comes, but a certain degree of suffering and a certain degree of happiness is going to come to a person because that's their destiny that they have created for themselves. So philanthropy really doesn't solve the problem. Real compassion is to change the quality of a person's life. Sarva dharman purityajya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Coming back?
Oh, yeah.
The greatest compassion is to help a person understand their eternal relationship with God. And we find the great souls throughout history of all spiritual traditions willing to endeavor at all costs to somehow or other enlighten people's consciousness. And in this age of Kali, the means of awakening our original spiritual consciousness, our love for God, and our love for all living beings, is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The six Goswamis, they were living as in royalty. Srinivasacharya writes, they gave all that up to wear simple kopans, sleep on the ground, and beg madhukari. And they did it all, why? Simply to show compassion to the suffering fallen souls of this world. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, he was such a compassionate soul. When he took that voyage from Calcutta to New York City on the cargo ship Jaladuta, why? He had nothing to gain personally. The age of 70. He endured heart attack, seasickness, so many things. Because of his love for Krishna. When someone loves Krishna, someone loves every living being because everyone is part of Krishna. The test of love of God is compassion to all living beings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his most famous songs, he writes that the essence of all religion, every religion, is the chanting of the names of God, Namaruchi, and developing a taste for the chanting of the holy names of God, and Jivadoya, compassion to the fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada lived by that essence. And when he came to the West, enduring amazing difficulties, overcoming impossible odds, he was confronted with a civilization that was so passionate. Unbelievable passion. The capital of passion for the whole planet. Manhattan Island of New York City. And who's the most passionate people? The youth. Yes? The passions of youth. And Srila Prabhupada, by their association with him, he transformed that passion into compassion. In fact, he utilized their youthful passions and connected it to the service of Krishna. Connected it for the welfare of others. He made hippies into happies. Somebody asked Prabhupada, can you show me a miracle? Srila Prabhupada explained, here are these young boys and girls who were addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And now they're living such completely pure lives and making great efforts to uplift the consciousness of others by bringing them closer to Krishna through prasadam distribution, through speaking the words of Krishna, through book distribution, through Harinam Sankirtan, through developing temples to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. And those same young people, so passionately seeking sense gratification, within a matter of weeks in the association with Prabhupada, were traveling around the world, spreading the highest dharma of prema bhakti through Nam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And now we have the very, very great fortune to hear from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who was a personal associate of Srila Prabhupada. One of the persons within this world who had the most personal eyewitness experience of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. And how Srila Prabhupada transformed the passion into compassion of so many persons. Like a touchstone. It's now time for Maharaj to speak, but I do not know where he is. We recite the verse, Bancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. A devotee is like a desire tree. Because they're compassionate to all living beings. The nature of a desire tree is our innermost heart's desires are fulfilled in the association of such a desire tree. So as soon as Maharaj returns, we would like to hear from him about his experiences in the association of Srila Prabhupada, of how association with a great soul can transform even the lowest, most fallen soul's heart and inspire them to be paradukaduki, from selfishness to selflessness, from arrogance to humility, from greed to generosity, from envy to love. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Does anyone know where Maharaj went?
should we have kirtan or questions until Maharaj comes? Yes.
Maharaj, you spoke that a preacher has to do whatever is needed to transform a person's heart. At such a young age, we ourselves are not pure. And many times we go for book distribution or preaching, such activities. And many times we encounter all kinds of person. So at that moment, means how to judge what we are going to do that is okay or not, means correct, means supported by philosophy or not.
The Shastras explain there are three types of devotees. First class, second class, and third class. Uttamadikari, Madhyamadikari, Kanishta Adhikari. The third class devotee is one who comes to the temple, worships the deity, but is not sympathetic to the sufferings of others. Second class devotee is very sympathetic to the sufferings of others. He wants to be an instrument of compassion to the fallen souls, he wants to befriend the devotees, worship the Supreme Lord, and avoid those who will bring down his consciousness, the atheistic, antagonistic people. Yes? So we don't want to remain Kanishta Adhikaris. We want, even though we may not be compassionate, by associating with those who are compassionate, we want to serve them. We want to assist them. We want to be an instrument of their compassion. How is it that these people from the Western world who knew nothing about Krishna, nothing about bhakti, addicted to all kinds of selfish activities, were risking their lives to give other people Krishna? Because Srila Prabhupada transformed their hearts so deeply that they could find no greater purpose or goal of life, no more happy experience than just assisting him. And that's how we become purified, by just assisting those who are pure. A postman is not necessarily a millionaire, but he can deliver $1 million to you. Yes? So similarly, if we're distributing Prabhupada's books, we're giving his compassion to others. If we're speaking his message, we're giving his compassion to others. If on his order we're distributing prasad, we're giving his compassion to others. When we're inviting people to his temple, we're giving his compassion to others. And where is his compassion coming from? From Krishna, the all-compassionate one. Parampara is simply the descension of God's compassion through his pure-hearted souls to all of us. So who to show compassion to? Is that your question?
Sometimes we become confused that but the way we are going to show compassion, that may or may not be appropriate. Narad Muni was a very greatly realized soul, so he can tell that you chant Mara. Many times we become confused. So at that time, means how to check ourselves, that means something like that.
You can ask a more senior devotee.
At that moment, that person is right in front of us, so...
The best compassion is just, according to time, place, and circumstance, repeat the message. Try to give the person the holy name. Try to engage a person in agyata sukriti. Whether knowing or no, if a person you really feel, you can just tell him, this is Krishna. Take the name of Krishna. Come to our temple. Take prasad. That's great compassion. Or buy this book. It's all about Krishna. That's great compassion. Or if you really feel that this person is not going to respond positively to that, then somehow or other, agyata sukriti. Get him to take the book, or get him to appreciate something devotees have done, or get him to take prasad, or somehow or other, connect him to Krishna or her. We have to use our intelligence. And if we're sincere, Krishna gives us intelligence. It's really about being sincere. It's not just about being mechanical. We don't want to change the message. The message must be as it is. But how we present the message, if we're sincere and have proper guidance, in those incidences, Krishna will give us the intelligence. Pray to Krishna. Chant the holy names to get deeper realizations, to get deeper access to Krishna, so that we'll have deeper intelligence of how to connect people in such a way that they will truly benefit and be blessed. Yes.
Now at this stage there is not much realization. So preaching is basically based on trying to please devotees. So should we just preach with that motivation, or should we strive to really feel the suffering of others, contemplate on those things and pray for compassion? Or should we simply be happy trying to please devotees, and should we let our preaching efforts be based on pleasing Vaishnavas?
Distributing Krishna's love, Krishna's mercy, is a very essential part of pleasing devotees. It cannot be separated. Within ISKCON, our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he's the focus of our greatest devotee. Yes? And we're all working together to please him, a pure devotee, a paramhamsa. And it pleases him when we go. It pleases him when we have affectionate, caring, loving relationships with each other as devotees. That is essential. That is foundational to a spiritual society. That we're all trying to help one another through our striving to be good examples and striving to care for the for each other. But also, individually and collectively, we want to give Krishna consciousness to others. Advaitacharya, he was the greatest of devotees. And he was in the association of Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, all these great, great souls. But when he saw the suffering of people who were separated from Krishna, forgetful of Krishna, he was weeping, he was crying, he was praying to the Lord, please descend to rescue these people. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the Sankirtan movement, the first words that Srivas Thakur said, let our family expand. So we cannot separate. practical. When you go to IIT or anywhere else and you bring a conditioned soul to Krishna consciousness, does that please Gauranga Prabhu? What do you say?
Very much.
Very much. Why does it please Gauranga Prabhu? Gauranga Prabhu can say.
Because they are now on the way to find the goal of their lives and the end of their suffering condition.
Yes. So by giving Krishna to others, it enlivens all the devotees so much when somebody is coming and getting Krishna's mercy. How that pleases devotees. Actually, Maharaj, about 25 minutes ago, we introduced that you were going to speak, but you were we were speaking of compassion and about Srila Prabhupada's compassion, and we would like to hear your realizations of how Prabhupada transformed passion into compassion in so many people's hearts and lives, or whatever else you would like to speak to transform our hearts. O compassionate one, let us inspire Giriraj Maharaj to illuminate our hearts by showing our enthusiasm to hear him by loudly chanting Hari Bol. After hearing His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj speak so beautifully and eloquently and systematically and comprehensively, I don't think there's much that I could add. The only thing might be my personal experience of Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, how he exhibited his compassion in a way that could be seen differently, but it was actually a manifestation of his compassion in relation to the struggle for the Juhu land and to build the Juhu temple. In the course of the struggle, Srila Prabhupada read, he actually was speaking every evening from Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he came to a particular verse that I will read in a few minutes, he related it to the struggle and you'll see from the way he spoke about the verse how it applies to us. But to give the background, a little background about the struggle, as you know, most of you, Srila Prabhupada left India on the order of his spiritual master in 1965 to travel to New York City to attempt to introduce Krishna consciousness there. And after preaching in the United States for some time, he decided to return to India with some of his American disciples to preach here. He said that the Indians are very eager to imitate the Americans,
So they see that the Americans have taken to Krishna consciousness, then they may want to imitate them and take to Krishna consciousness as well. And actually, when Srila Prabhupada did return to India with his disciples, it had a tremendous impact on the people. Srila Prabhupada traveled with a small group via the Pacific and arrived in Calcutta, and a larger group traveled by the Atlantic and arrived in Bombay. And after we had been in Bombay for just a few days, Srila Prabhupada came from Calcutta, and the devotees would do Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of Bombay, and the people were so touched that literally tears were coming to their eyes to see how American and European young men and women had taken to Krishna consciousness, taken to their original culture. One Harinam Sankirtan, we went to Sachivalaya, the government building, and we could see that people were coming to the windows, crowding, looking out the windows at our Harinam Sankirtan. Finally, someone inside the government building came out and asked us to continue somewhere else because no one was doing any work. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada began, and his patron, Sumati Morarji, who had given him the free passage to America on one of the Scindia steamships, organized a big program on the top of Scindia House in Ballard Estate, to which he invited all the top people of Bombay. And thereafter, Srila Prabhupada had us introduce the life membership program, mainly, as he said, as a means to distribute his books. And so we thought we would get the list of invitees to Sumati Morarji's program because they would be good people to approach because they were leaders. Prabhupada wanted us to approach the leaders. And they had met Prabhupada. They heard Prabhupada speak. They met the devotees. They heard the devotees' kirtan. So one of the people on the list of invitees was Mr. A.B. Nair, who was the owner of the English daily newspaper, the Free Press Journal. He had also been the sheriff of Bombay and was quite a prominent person. So one of the devotees met him, and eventually he mentioned that he had some property at Juhu, and he wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter saying that he had some property at Juhu that he wanted to offer for some noble cause. So he met Srila Prabhupada, and eventually Srila Prabhupada entered into an agreement to buy the land. But Mr. Nair was actually a cunning man, and he built some conditions into the agreement that he knew by his influence he would be able to force us to break. And thus he would be able to keep our money and keep the land. Actually, what it was, to make it more clear in case what I said wasn't clear enough, one of the conditions was that the sale had to be executed within 6 months. And like time was the essence of the contract, and if it wasn't executed in 6 months, the agreement would be null and void. And another condition was that we had to get permission from the charity commissioner. So Mr. Nair, by his own methods, made sure that we didn't get the permission from the charity commissioner. And then after the 6 months had passed, he said, "You've defaulted," and, you know, Hare Krishna. Well, he didn't say Hare Krishna, but you defaulted and bye-bye. So it was a great struggle. At one stage, anyway, it's a long history also, but at one stage, Mrs. Nair actually arranged for the Bombay Municipal Corporation to come and demolish the small temple we had on the property for Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari. Srila Prabhupada had some idea that there might be trouble, so the first thing he did is he brought the deities of Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari from our rented place on Warden Road to Juhu and built a small temple for them. It wasn't meant to be a permanent temple, but a semi-permanent. So one day, the municipal workers and the police came and started to demolish the temple. I ran out with the permission. They said it was unauthorized construction. I ran out with the letter from the municipal commissioner, but they didn't take it seriously. Rumor has it that they had been paid off, and rather they put me in the police wagon, and any of the devotees who protested, they just put them in the police wagon and drove us off to the Santa Cruz lockup. But anyway, somehow, they say discretion is the better part of valor. One of the devotees, actually a local devotee, he was hiding in the bushes while this was all happening, and he saw what was happening, and he made a phone call to one of the local political leaders, and he in turn phoned the municipal commissioner. He in turn phoned the ward officer, and the ward officer came running to Juhu to stop the demolition. But still, the war was going on. The war was going on. And even though, you know, the demolition was stopped before they got to the deity room, they had broken, like, the Darshan Mandap, and still, we had to get the land in our name, we had to get the permission to build, and it was a big struggle. So in the midst of this, every night Srila Prabhupada was speaking from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of Lord Kapila to Devahuti. And one evening he spoke on a verse that I will read to you now, because it explains the mood of compassion and what a devotee is required to do in the course of showing compassion to others. And in the talk, in a very touching way and a very encouraging way, Srila Prabhupada related the verse to our situation. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 21. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadubhushanaha. Titikshava karunika Surida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadubhushana. Please repeat. Titikshava. Tolerant.
Tolerant.
Karunika.
Karunika.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Surida.
Surida.
Friendly.
Sarvadehinam,
to all living entities.
Ajata
Shatrava,
inimical to none.
Shanta, peaceful.
Sadhava,
abiding by scriptures.
Sadubhushanaha,
adorned with sublime characteristics. Translation. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all of his characteristics are sublime. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, "Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. Of course, now we are in the December marathon, as you know, and devotees are going door to door or train compartment to train compartment with this message. The message is contained in Srila Prabhupada's books, the exact same message. And when we give someone one of Srila Prabhupada's books, they get the message from Srila Prabhupada directly in a very compelling way. People are busy. They often say, "We have no time." So if we try to preach to them on the street, some people might listen, but others, if they just get the book, then they'll take the book home with them, and eventually they may read it. Or even if they don't read it, somebody else in the family will read it. And even if somebody else doesn't read it immediately, eventually someone may read it and become a devotee. And there are many such instances we all know about. Just recently, I met a devotee. Yesterday, told me a story of a worker in the same office as him. He bought a book, but he wasn't really interested. He just took the book because it was offered by a co-worker. But then later, the brother of the person who bought the book read it and became a devotee. He's a devotee right now. So, he is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualities, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madhai. But still they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and merciful to all fallen souls. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. It is said here, sarvadehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does the human being have a material body, but other living entities, such as cats and dogs, also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, dogs, trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by association with a sadhu, because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities. Yet although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. Srila Prabhupada, although a sadhu is described here, ajata shatrava, he's inimical to no one. Sometimes, out of envy, someone will become inimical towards a sadhu. And that was the case with the Juhu land. People were greedy. It was a very valuable property. Some people wanted the property to build a hotel, and thus they made a plot to try to get the property from us. So Srila Prabhupada spoke on this verse And although the verse really describes him, out of his causeless mercy, he explained the verse as if it applied to us. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada was a person, and as His Holiness Radhanath Swami said, we don't really try to kill human feelings or sentiments in Krishna consciousness, but we try to purify them. Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, but he also had feelings, just like we did. And while discussing this verse, he explained some of his feelings in the face of so much opposition. He began from the point of Karunika, that is sadhu. Sadhu means devotee, because sadhava, a sadhu abides by the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us to become devotees. Manmana bhava madhubhakto madhyajimam namaskaru. So he's Karunika. He wants to give mercy to the fallen souls, to bring them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. But sometimes people become inimical out of their own enviousness. Srila Prabhupada quoted Chanakya Pandit that there are two kinds of envious creatures, a snake and an envious man. But of the two, an envious man is more dangerous, because a snake can be pacified by mantras and medicinal herbs, but an envious man cannot be pacified by any means. But Srila Prabhupada said, we could have thought, okay, the people of Bombay don't like us, they don't want us, we can go somewhere else. We have temples all over the world. We don't have to stay in Bombay. We can go anywhere to preach. But no, Karunika, a sadhu is merciful. He's determined at any cost to give the people Krishna consciousness. But because envious people put so many impediments, and then in this talk, he addressed the audience that, you know what happened here at this Hare Krishna land, and he told how a clique formed against us and how they demolished the temple. And they're saying that they're foreigners, they should go back to where they came from. And Srila Prabhupada said that they're not thinking that they're Americans or you're Indian, they know they're not the body. Aham Brahmasmi, that everyone is spirit, soul. So they're not thinking Indian, American, European. They're not even thinking human being, animal, or plant, but they see everyone as spirit, soul. And they want to do good for everyone. And people were accusing their CIA, their spies, their so many things. But Srila Prabhupada said, what is their business? Their only business is to serve Radha and Krishna. From 4 a.m. until 10 p.m, they have no other business, just to serve Radha and Krishna. But still, because some people are envious, they're making so many complaints. But we have to tolerate Titikshava. All right, they're making complaints, they're putting so many obstacles, but to Tikshava, we have to tolerate. And at the same time, Shanta, remain peaceful. Don't be disturbed. Although they are a sadhu, they're not sadhus. In fact, they're putting obstacles against the sadhus, but Prabhupada said, you have to remain sadhu. And that was the essence of his instruction, and that was his example. By associating with a sadhu, and this was the final conclusion, that by associating with a sadhu, one becomes a sadhu. By associating with Srila Prabhupada, we were becoming sadhus. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to build the temple so that people would come and get the association of sadhus, and by their association become sadhus for devotees. So that was Prabhupada's mission here. From an external point of view, one could think, oh, he's fighting over property, fighting over bricks and stones. But no. His inner mood was karunika, to give mercy to the fallen souls, and specifically to the fallen souls of Bombay. So many of the devotees here at Chaupati, they were touched by Srila Prabhupada's compassionate efforts. Many of the early devotees here, Srinath Ji Das, Mahaprabhu Das. In fact, Mahaprabhu Das came to the Juhu temple for the first time on the day that the temple opened. So the mission was a success. All the effort was worth it. And now so many others, it's parampara from Srila Prabhupada, from his disciples to their disciples and listeners and followers. And now to all of you, this is our line. Become sadhus, become devotees, compassionate devotees. So it's a great responsibility coming in the line. Of course, this is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami mentioned Narada Muni. He's our predecessor, one of our predecessors. Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, all of our acharyas, and most recently Srila Prabhupada and his followers. So it's very encouraging to see all of you here listening. I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very pleased, I would say beaming with pleasure, that you have come to hear this message and apply it in your lives and take up the compassionate mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. You're the son of Abhiram Thakur Das? Hi. Wish you all the best. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
You told that the Juhu land, when it was in the initial state, it was like a war. When I started reading Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita was told on the battlefield. So I feel our life is also like a war. So how should, in what attitude we should surrender to Krishna and win this war?
you're right that the material world is a struggle. It's a war. And there's so many enemies, so many obstacles, so many difficulties. And the way to overcome them is the way that Arjuna overcame them, by surrendering to Krishna. And the way to surrender to Krishna, there's a whole process, bhakti yoga, how to surrender to Krishna. And the first three items, the process is described in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first three items are adogravashraya, to take shelter of a guru. Dikshati, take initiation. Shikshati, take instruction. Sadharma pricha, inquire about eternal religious principles. It's the same idea as the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 434, tadvidi pranipattena pariprashnena sevaya. You surrender. Pranipat means surrender. Pariprashnena, you inquire submissively. And sevaya, you render service. Which in effect it means to follow the instructions. And by that surrender, one can overcome all the obstacles of conditioned life. And also associate with devotees, that's the next, associate with devotees. And in fact, the devotees are following the process, so if you associate with them and take up the same process, that's really how to surrender to Krishna. But you can also surrender on the spot. Like I overheard someone ask, like when you're preaching or distributing books, like how do you know what to do when you're on the spot and you need to do something? So we can surrender and pray. When I used to distribute books, I would often pray to Krishna in the heart of the person, like he's looking at the book. So I'd pray to Krishna in the heart, please inspire this person to engage in your service. Please inspire this person to take your book. Hare Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We can surrender to Krishna, pray to Krishna to give us the answer. Oh my God, what am I going to say now? Krishna help me, and then Krishna may give us the answer. Yes.
You had the fortune of being personally touched by Prabhupada's compassion. So could you narrate some pastimes where you had an opportunity to witness it? Srila Prabhupada's compassion touching you.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada manifested his compassion mainly through his efforts to spread Krishna consciousness. Just coming on the steamship, at the age of 79, he arrived in America at the age of, he left at the age of 69, and on the way he celebrated his 70th birthday, and he suffered two heart attacks on the way, and just the way he struggled in the beginning was his compassion. But sometimes he also showed compassion just in simple ways. Once I was with him in Madras, and we were riding in a car down Mount Road, the main street in Madras. And there was a bus stop, a little shelter where people could wait, but there was a huge line of people waiting for the bus. And it was very hot in Madras. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the people standing in the hot sun, waiting for the bus. And he just commented, but there was so much compassion in his voice, so much feeling in his voice. He just commented that, oh, they have to wait so long for the bus in the sun. Sometimes he felt compassion for people who were hungry. He was on the terrace of in Mayapur and just looking over the countryside, and he felt compassion for the people who were hungry, and he said we should distribute prasad. No one should go hungry within 10 miles of our temple. As far as his compassion towards me, there were a number of incidents, but one comes to mind. Every day we were going to the city trying to get support for the project and trying to get the permission to build the temple and so many things. So we'd leave early in the morning and we wouldn't have anything to eat. Maybe if we wanted to splurge, we'd buy one of those, they used to like roll up newspapers in the shape of a cone, and then they'd have peanuts in them and sell them at the train station. So maybe we'd get some peanuts at the train station and eat them on the way back. So one evening I came back and reported to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, how are you feeling? I said, fine. But when he said that, and the way he was looking at me, I actually stopped to consider, how do I feel? And I actually felt pretty bad. And I could see, I could understand that Srila Prabhupada could see it. Then I said, well, actually, I do feel a little tired. So then Srila Prabhupada said, he actually called, because we were so poor then, basically all we would have to eat would be just boiled rice and dal, and then some dry chapatis, and on a good day we'd have some vegetables, not always, it just depended. So Prabhupada called for some grapes from his pantry. And then with his hand, he gave me the grapes and he said, have these grapes. They're very good for energy. And then he said, to work hard for 2 days and to have to recuperate for 3 days is not a very good policy. Another little incident from that period. That day we went to the police commissioner's office because to get permission to build the temple we needed an NOC, a no objection certificate from the police commissioner, and he wasn't giving it. But anyway, we were trying, to have some people approach him, and we were trying our best in different ways. So one day we thought maybe we'll have some success. So that day, again, leave early in the morning, take the train, spend the day going, usually walking from place to place and fort. And then in the end, we came back and it was late. We didn't have time to take prasad, but we didn't want to miss Prabhupada's class. You're speaking on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we came just in time for the kirtan. And I don't know, I guess I was tired, I was hot, I didn't take a shower, I didn't have prasad. But the main thing is we didn't get the permission. And in his class, Srila Prabhupada at one point said, "And you must dance in the kirtan, even if you don't get the permission." So he was concerned. He was concerned with the project. He had called the deities, and he said it would have been a great insult to the deities if the deities were forced to leave. And at the end of the whole thing, he said, "Actually, I wasn't so keen on the land, but because I had invited Radha and Krishna to come, you know, it would have been a great insult for them to be driven away. So I had to fight for the land." And in the meantime, the deities, they were also in that little shed. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami used to remark that we often hear of devotees performing austerities for the deities, but here the deities performed austerities for the devotees in that little shed. Prabhupada wanted us to be happy. Wanted us to be happy. At one stage, because Mr. Nair was a very cunning person, and we were new in India and relatively simple. So at one stage he sort of bewildered the leaders, and he told them that unless they canceled the... It's a whole story, because Prabhupada got Mr. Nair to enter into another agreement. That's a whole other story. Very interesting story. But then, you know, Mr. Nair sort of, you know, bewildered the devotees and convinced them to cancel that agreement. So they canceled it. And I knew it was wrong. You know, within my heart, I knew it was wrong. So I phoned Srila Prabhupada in Ahmedabad. And we would never phone Srila Prabhupada. I mean, just... didn't phone Srila Prabhupada. But it was so important, I phoned him. So he came to the phone. This Bhaktivedanta Swami speaking. I didn't know what to say. He said, "Yes, what is it?" So I said, "Srila Prabhupada, they canceled the agreement." Like silence, complete silence. Then Srila Prabhupada said, "Then everything is finished." And then he asked me some detail about what they had actually done, and I couldn't answer the question. And he said, "Then you are also useless." But then at the end, you know, knowing my nature and out of his compassion, he said, "Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious." And then he hung up. And he saved the situation. I mean, so many times he saved the situation. He never gave up. Yeah. And each one is a whole story. But yeah, but you know, the greatest compassion was that he came and brought the message of Krishna and engaged us in service. And but in all these little ways, he also showed his compassion in a personal way, in an individual way. Any other questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Hare yeah. Krishna.
Dandavat Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask you you said that sadhu performs philanthropic activities for the benefit of the society. So I wanted to ask you that there are many atheists, there are many Mayavadis, impersonalists, and there are also devotees who are all performing philanthropic activities for the society. An example would be distributing food, or in case of devotees, distributing prasadam. So what exactly is the difference between an atheist performing philanthropic activities, an impersonalist performing philanthropic activities, and a devotee performing philanthropic activities?
Well, the Srila Prabhupada explains that one can perform philanthropic activities on the bodily platform or on the mental platform or on the spiritual platform. So you might feed someone, but a few hours later the person will be hungry. You might even educate someone in a material way, but you don't know how he's going to use the knowledge. He may use the knowledge to exploit people. So the best philanthropic activities on the spiritual platform, where you give them Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavad Gita discusses charity in different modes. Charity in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness. But the greatest gift that you can give is Krishna consciousness. Before I met Srila Prabhupada, I was in the mood to do good for others. And sort of in the bodily conception of life in high school, I wanted to be a doctor. Then at the university, I could see even if people were physically healthy, they could be suffering mentally. So then I thought I'll become a psychologist. But then eventually I saw the psychologists themselves were suffering. That the psychiatrists had the highest rate of suicide of any professional group. And then Srila Prabhupada came. This was also his mercy. He came to the same university where I was a student and spoke, and that was the first time I really met the devotees. And then I came to the temple, and then I asked him that I always had the idea of serving humanity, and by your association I've come to understand the importance of serving God. So what is the relationship between serving man and serving God? And Srila Prabhupada replied that to put a permanent end to someone's suffering, is that not service? To give someone complete happiness and satisfaction, is that not service? And then the same thing, that you might You might feed someone, but after a few hours he'll become hungry again. But if you give someone Krishna consciousness, all of his problems will be solved forever. And he told the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom, but in the end he got Krishna. And he said, you know, I'm thousands of times more satisfied. I have no other desire. So Prabhupada said, is that not service to humanity? Giving people Krishna consciousness is the best service to humanity.
So we would like to welcome today's guests. We have Jambavati, disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. We have several disciples of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, Anil Agarwal, Srinathji Prabhu, Mahaprabhu Prabhu, Mr. Shankar Prasad, President of VSNL Broadband, and also we have our very special His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. And also we have Dr. Sanjeev Agarwal and his family from London, very special friends from London, and they had assisted in so many ways last year during Maharaj's surgery. So let us welcome all of these guests to today's Prerna festival by loudly chanting. So also, so for tomorrow, the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class will be given by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and the afternoon Sunday feast lecture will be given by His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. So we welcome all of you for today, for tomorrow's Sunday festival program also. We would like to welcome all those who have come for the first time for this Prerna festival. We would request you to please stand up so we can welcome you appropriately. जो आज पहली बार आए हैं कृपा करके खड़े हो जाइए. So we also have many devotees who have come from IYF Pune and also from Baramati. We would like to welcome all of these devotees by loudly chanting.